When was the last time you connected with your long-distance best friend? Your mentor? Your college roommate? Nothing, not even likes and comments on social media, can replace the joy of receiving a holiday card in your mailbox. And with Minted, sending one has never looked more beautiful. Simply upload your photo, choose a card design from an independent artist, then customize the color, shape, and message. For an extra festive touch, add shiny foil accents or upgrade to colored envelopes. Eventful year? Go for a larger format or add a QR code to the back of your card to share what your family's been up to. Upload your contacts and we'll even address your envelopes for free. Check in with your people in a way that matters this holiday season. Use code PODCAST for 20% off your Minted holiday card order.
Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Last Word on Today FM.
So let's talk music. And so, John Cadell, Zara Hederman, what do you think, Zara, about Robbie Williams coming to perform at Croke Park next summer?
Very exciting. I actually was quite delighted to see this because Robbie Williams is a classic in my friend group Karaoke Nights. Has so many great songs. And looking back, when you look at his career and how successful he's been, like he played to 135,000 people in Phoenix Park back in 2003. He had a world record of selling the most amount of tickets in one day, which was 1.6 million. Now, it won't be that much in Croke Park. It'll be 80,000. But I can imagine they'll go quickly.
I saw him actually in Lansdowne Road. I don't know how many years ago it was. And he's a terrific showman.
Yeah, he's often called the Tom Jones of his generation, which, you know, I don't know.
That's a bit of a put down, is it? I don't know.
Well, Jones is the voice and he has the charisma and the stage moves, of course. And Robbie has made no secret of the fact that as far as he himself is concerned, he is an entertainer. You know, he doesn't delve too deep musically. He knows his audience and he knows what they want and he'll put on an incredible show.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have Let Me Entertain You, but actually it's a different track we have. Knife at Nebworth, this is when he sang Angels.
Oh, the crowd.
Ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Like the crowd later on in the song, I think they sing the entire second verse and chorus, and it's spine tingling stuff. And if you remember a couple of months back on this very show, we were talking about recorded great crowd participation moments, and I made you a playlist on Spotify, and I sent it to you. And this was on it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what about the pricing for the tickets? Dynamic pricing, not, I presume, Zara, on this.
No, it says here that they range between €77.25 to €152.25, subject to Ticketmaster service charge. So, I mean, if you're paying maybe like £80, that's not, like, for Robbie Williams, that's not bad.
And but I think you also got Elbow.
Elbow as well. So, Crow Park next summer, it's a real bad boy affair with Oasis, Robbie Williams on Elbow.
And actually, Robbie was asked about, you know, competing with Oasis, because they're playing the week before him in Crow Park. And he went, when it comes to Oasis, he goes, there's no competing. So
they're the real bad boys, is it? I would tell you, we want to get there early for, I don't know how long Elbow will have on stage, but Elbow are terrific. I mean, we had a great culture club earlier this year with Guy Garvey, which people can go back and listen to. It should be available on the JFM website very easily. But that's a great undercard.
Yeah, it is. And they'll play, I'd imagine they'll play for about an hour. It's going to be such a feel-good event. It's going to
be
such
an excellent event.
You know, if the sun is shining and everyone's up for it, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah. What date again is it?
It's the 23rd of August next year.
All right, okay. Now, tell us about Olivia Rodrigo.
She is also coming back to Dublin, and actually she's only just been. She was here in May or April of this year. She had two sold-out nights in the Three Arena. She's coming back to Marley Park, so it'll be her biggest Dublin show, by 40,000 capacity for that. She'll be joined by Biba Doobie, and yeah, she'll be serenading all of the Marley Park fans. Huge success. Like that, I can imagine, was that out quite quickly too.
You couldn't get tickets for the Three Arena.
No.
Like gold dust. There was two dates, I think, and you just
two
could
dates,
not get them.
Yeah, tickets here will be from $89.90 to $119.90. She said that she'll maybe be playing some new songs off the deluxe Guts Spilled. And I think everyone who went to that, those Three Arena shows, seemed to have had such a great time. Like Olivia Rodrigo really plays to the fans.
Okay. Now, Tony, what is this Boy Bands Forever documentary, John?
Yeah, very interesting. This was done by Louis Theroux's production company, specifically directed by Louis Theroux's wife, who's a noted documentary maker in her own right. And it tells the tale of, I suppose, the highs and the lows of being in a boy band. Specifically for this particular documentary, it seems to be focusing on UK boy bands in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And it's a three-part series starting on BBC from the 16th of November. And the information that we've gotten is that it's quite a bit of it is celebrating, you know, the joy that they brought to the fans, but also the effect that it had on them and the, sort of the working conditions that these supposedly glamorous lifestyles that the boy bands led was anything but. I mean, there's stories about the band Five were on £100 per week even when they were having massive hit singles, and there was no talk of being overworked or nobody was checking in on them, how they were physically or mentally, were they sleeping, you know, how were they coping with the sudden fame. None of that was in place the way it is today.
And having their passports taken off as well.
Yeah.
One of them mentions how they're in, I think it was Australia, and he said that he came down with chicken pox and the management wouldn't let him fly home to recuperate in his family home, and they hid his passport from him. So one of his bandmates had to like sneak it out so that he could get some time off, because they talked about like in 2 years they had 2 days off. I think Brian McFadden of Westlife, he's also interviewed and says that he had like 5 days off over the span and missed like funerals of family members and like a lot of kind of pivotal moments in his own family life.
An excuse to pay a little bit of Five, got the feeling.
Your head's bumping, now you're jumping from your seats. If this is what you wantin' over there, throw your hands up in the air, because you know we bring the sound so unique. Now everybody's moving, everybody's grooving, getting down with Five when we come your way. Move it to the left, now you shake it to the right, because you know we gotta keep this party bumping through the night. Check me out.
Hey yo, 7654321. I'm on the microphone, got you hot like the sun. So I 1, 2, 3, now I'm waiting on the floor. Kick down the door and turn it up a little more.
Good timing, I suppose, in a sad way, when you think of the premature death of Liam Payne recently, looking at all of the things that perhaps weren't learned from that era, which could have been applied to looking after One Direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And as much as Nancy Strang has said it's a celebration, I think it is really important to have these accounts of these experiences, especially with Liam Payne's death and the petitioning for Liam's law to come in, which looks at kind of giving a lot more mental health care and welfare for the artists. Because as this documentary will show, like, just how hard they worked, the levels of like assault and harassment they got from fans, which no one should have to go through in their daily work. So there's also on Netflix there was a documentary about the American side of things with American boy bands and Luke Perlman.
Yeah.
So very gritty and very hard subject matter, but certainly one to kind of hopefully give some reform to the music industry as we move forward.
Five are still going, by the way, but there's only three at the minute. Honestly,
have they changed the name?
60%?
No, five, still called five.
Oh no.
Yes, inflation.
Three-fifths. Okay, that's your pick of the week, please, John.
My pick of the week, it's, as usual, Matt, it's not something brand new, but I think it's an excuse to sort of, I suppose, reclaim one of this artist's greatest singles. The album that I'm focusing on is a reissue of Donna Summer's Best Of from 1979. It was originally a 16-track album. It's now been expanded to 40 tracks. And the song that we're going to take from it is one that I think the Donna faithful and the Donna purists sort of balk at, because it was when she teamed up with Stock Aitken and Waterman, who were ubiquitous around this time in 1989, for This Time I Know It's For Real. But it's just an absolute pop classic.
Brilliant track.
You will be singing that for the rest of the night, listeners. I'm sorry.
Sorry, is that the original version before Stock Aitken and Waterman got their hands on it?
No, it's not that they got their hands on it, Matthew. They actually wrote it for her.
All right.
And she had some lyrical contribution as well. So they wrote and produced it specifically for her.
Okay, so that wasn't from 1979.
No. See, the album, the Best Of, was originally released in 1979, but it's been expanded to follow
to go beyond 1979.
Yes, absolutely.
Now I get you.
Yeah, you should listen to me, Matt. I speak the truth.
What do you speak?
The truth.
Anyway, what have you got for us, Sarah, as a pick of the week?
Tough to follow that one. I have Dana Gavansky, who's a Canadian artist based in London, and I came across her a couple of years ago when her second album, When It Comes, came out, and she's someone who's very much in the wheelhouse of Kate Le Bon, who's a musical hero of mine, Wise Blood and Aldous Harding. She usually does quite angular pop, avant-pop kind of stuff, but this is actually a bit more subdued, what we're going to hear, because she decided to write on the piano for the first time. So this is a bit lusher, it's a bit more somber and sparse, and this is a new single, Business of the Attitude.
Again,
that is Dana Gavansky, So if that is people's first introduction to her, I highly, highly recommend going back and listening to her three albums. They're all really excellent and a lot more kind of vibrant and exuberant than that.
So let's keep the upbeat bit going for the last bit, John. Tell us about the reconciliation of Simon and Garfunkel.
Ah, yeah, Simon and Garfunkel, the two men who couldn't dislike each other more and still stand on a stage until the Gallagher brothers. yeah, they sort of reunited and they split up in 1970 because Paul Simon was sort of reckoning he didn't need Garfunkel because he wrote all the songs. Art was off making movies, so they split up because they didn't like each other. Then they got back together for the concert in Central Park in 1981, so a live album was released of that. They tried to make a new album together, but realised that they still, in fact, hated each other. So Paul released it as a solo album called Hearts and Bones, got back together in 1993 for a tour, realised once again that they didn't like each other very much, and then got back together in 2000.
You don't have to like people to work with them, though,
well,
do you?
Well, obviously not, because they got back together again in 2001 with another duo who famously hated each other, the Everly Brothers, supporting for the Old Friends, ironically titled, tour. And then they fell out again, but then they met for lunch and now they love each other now.
And they're 83, so yeah. Good luck to them both. Thank you very much, John Cadell and Sara Hedeman.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.